Okay, so like imagine this, right? You're a therapist and your patient says that they're thinking about harming someone. Confidentiality is huge, but you don't want anyone to get hurt.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. It's that exact dilemma that's at the heart of this case, Peck v. Counseling Service. This case really shook up the legal system in Vermont.
It did. Yeah, and it's a landmark case that changed how we think about a therapist's duty to warn and protect potential victims.
Absolutely.
And get this, the whole thing revolves around a barn burning.
A real barn burning.
Yeah, adds a whole other layer to the legal stuff.
It does. So the case is about this young man, John Peck. He had a history of some impulsivity and some mental health issues, and he was seeing a therapist at Counseling Service.
Okay.
During one session, John had this big fight with his father, and then later he confided in his therapist that he kind of wanted to get back at him.
Oh, that's not good.
No. When the therapist asked him more about it, John actually suggested burning down his father's barn.
So at this point, what could the therapist even do?
Right.
Like, what are the options?
Well, that's where it gets really tricky legally. So the therapist was obviously worried about what John said, and they talked about the consequences of actually doing something like that. And John even, he verbally promised he wouldn't do anything.
Okay.
But the therapist didn't warn John's dad or the police or anything. And then, really tragically, John actually did set fire to the barn, caused a ton of damage.
Wow. So then this went all the way to the Vermont Supreme Court, right?
It did.
That's not typical. What made this case so important?
Well, the Supreme Court saw this as like their chance to make a statement about how responsible therapists are for preventing harm. They were basically saying patient confidentiality matters, but it's not everything. If someone's life is at stake, therapists can't just do nothing.
Makes sense.
Right. This decision completely overturned what the trial court initially said,
Oh, wow.
and it set the precedent that therapists actually have a duty to protect others from harm if they think their patient is a real risk.
So, how did the court in Peck come to that conclusion? What was their logic?
So they relied on a few key points. One of them was the special relationship doctrine, which is basically the idea that therapists have this unique power and influence over their patients.
Right.
So that creates responsibility to stop any harm that's foreseeable.
Yeah, if you're in that position of power and you have a reason to think someone might be dangerous, you can't ignore it.
Exactly. And on top of that, they found that the therapist in Peck didn't do what any professional in that situation should do. They didn't meet that standard of care.
Okay.
You know, expert witnesses even testified that given what they knew about John, just relying on him saying he wouldn't do it wasn't enough.
Wow.
And the court also said that the whole counseling service was at fault for not having better ways to handle these kinds of threats. It was like a system failure.
So it wasn't just the therapist, the whole clinic was under scrutiny.
Yeah. They were basically redefining what negligence means for therapists.
Yeah. So patient confidentiality is important, but it's not absolute.
Right. Sometimes protecting potential victims has to come first.
So how did the court in Peck decide when it's okay to break that confidentiality? Were there any guidelines?
They did. They set up a three-pronged test to figure out when a therapist has that duty to protect.
Okay, so let's break it down. What are those three prongs?
So the first one is foreseeable risk. What that means is the therapist needs to have a real reason to believe that the patient is dangerous. And it can't just be a gut feeling, it has to be based on their professional knowledge and the patient's history.
So it can't just be like some vague idea that harm might happen. It's got to be credible.
Right.
Okay, what about that second prong?
So the second one is identifiable victim. The threat can't be just some general thing or to anyone, you know?
Yeah.
There has to be an actual person that's the target. Like in Peck, it was John's father specifically.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So we've got the foreseeable risk. We've got a specific person who's the target. What's that third piece?
Right. So the third prong is physical harm. The threat has to be about potential violence or someone getting hurt. It's not like emotional distress or financial harm, at least not in this context. It's about preventing actual violence.
Right.
And sadly, the barn burning in Peck showed that potential for real damage.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, if a therapist thinks, like, based on their professional opinion and the evidence,
Yeah.
that their patient could seriously hurt someone specific, then they have to do something to protect that person,
Yeah.
even if it means breaking
Yeah,
confidentiality.
exactly. It's a
Yeah.
big responsibility for therapists. Peck really highlighted that.
It did. Now, I remember there was a dissenting opinion in this case, right?
Yeah.
Not all the justices agreed with this whole duty to protect thing.
You're right. The dissent is important to think about. Chief Justice Billings, he disagreed with the majority. He said that even the best professionals have a hard time predicting violence accurately.
It's true.
Yeah.
Even with all the training, you can't always know for sure what someone's going to do.
Exactly. And Chief Justice Billings felt that deciding if there's a duty to protect should be up to lawmakers, not the courts.
Okay.
He said it was a policy decision better handled through legislation.
I see.
And he was also really worried about what this would mean for patient confidentiality. He thought this ruling could make people not trust their therapists or not want to tell them everything because they're afraid of getting reported.
And that makes sense. Like, if people are worried about being totally honest, then they might not get help at all.
Right.
So how did the majority address those concerns?
Well, they acknowledged how important confidentiality is and how hard it is to predict violence.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they said that public safety had to come first.
Okay.
And the duty to protect, they said it wasn't about being right all the time. It was about taking reasonable steps when there's a clear risk.
Gotcha.
They also pointed out that in Peck, the therapist had enough evidence to do something, but didn't even take basic precautions.
Sounds like they were trying to balance individual rights with keeping everyone safe.
Yeah.
So what happened after Peck? Does it actually change how therapists in Vermont work?
Oh, it definitely did. Peck led to stricter rules for therapists when they're dealing with possible threats. They have to be way more careful about documenting things, talking to other professionals, and warning potential victims if it meets that legal test we talked about.
Makes sense. Peck really raised the bar for therapists in Vermont.
Yeah.
But why should our listeners, who are mostly lawyers and law students, care about this case with therapists? How does Peck connect to the legal world?
That's a great question. So Peck might be about mental health, but it shows something really important for all professionals, lawyers included, and that's how professional liability is changing.
Okay, can you explain that a little more? Like, what's similar about therapists and lawyers in this situation?
Sure. Lawyers, just like therapists, have to keep things confidential for their clients, but they also have to try to prevent harm, especially if they know a client is planning something illegal. What Peck shows is that courts are holding professionals more accountable for not taking steps to protect others, even if it means breaking confidentiality.
So Peck's like a reminder that professional ethics aren't always simple, huh?
Yeah.
There are times when you got to make hard decisions and think about both what you should do and what might happen.
Exactly. And those decisions can have big consequences. Peck makes us really look at how confidentiality and public safety work together in different jobs, especially now with everything changing so fast.
Yeah, and technology is adding a whole other layer to all this.
Right.
You mentioned telehealth before. How's that changing things?
Yeah, telehealth is when therapy happens remotely, over video or phone calls. And that's brought up a bunch of new challenges with confidentiality and duty to protect.
Right. It makes sense. It helps more people access therapy, but it also creates situations that didn't exist before.
Yeah. For example, there's the whole issue of how secure and private these telehealth platforms are.
Yeah.
Are they HIPAA compliant? Are they doing enough to protect patient information? What if there's a data breach?
Yeah, those are good points. And what about jurisdiction?
Right.
Like, if a therapist is licensed in one state, but their patient is in another state, whose laws apply?
Exactly.
What if the potential victim is in a different state? It gets complicated fast.
It really does. Telehealth also blurs the line between professional and personal boundaries.
Oh, so?
Well, what if a patient contacts the therapist outside of their sessions?
Okay.
What if the patient's having a crisis, but the therapist can't reach them or doesn't know where they are? It's a lot of uncharted territory.
It sounds like technology's moving faster than the law can keep up.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
We're this weird in-between space where the old rules don't always fit the new ways of doing things.
Exactly. We're all trying to figure out how to apply the old principles to these new situations. It's really important for both legal and mental health professionals to be a part of this conversation so our laws and ethical guidelines keep up with technology.
Absolutely. So to bring it back to Peck, what are the big takeaways for our listeners, especially the lawyers? What should they remember about this case and its impact?
I think Peck v. Counseling Service is a strong reminder that professional ethics aren't set in stone. They change as we learn more about risk, harm, and responsibility.
So it's not just about following the rules. It's about understanding the ideas behind them and using them in real life.
Exactly. Peck also shows how tricky it can be to balance confidentiality with public safety. And that's something that comes up in lots of professions, not just mental health. As technology makes those boundaries fuzzier and creates new ways for us to communicate, that tension is only going to get stronger.
It's a challenge for all of us, figuring out how to protect individual rights while making sure everyone's safe.
For sure. Peck reminds us that legal precedent isn't always a perfect guide for making ethical decisions. Sometimes there's no clear answer, and professionals have to use their judgment to figure out the best thing to do.
Right.
And that judgment needs to be based on a solid understanding of ethics, a commitment to always learning, and open conversations with colleagues and clients about these complicated issues.
So it's about being proactive, anticipating challenges, and adjusting our approach as things change.
Exactly. Peck, even though it was about a specific situation, it had a big impact on legal and mental health fields. It made everyone think about duty, confidentiality, and the limits of professional responsibility.
Yeah. And that conversation's not over, is it?
Not at all. Yeah. As technology keeps advancing and we learn more about mental health and how to assess violence risk, we need to keep revisiting these questions and finding better answers.
Absolutely. Peck v. Counseling Service wasn't the end of the story.
Right.
It was just the beginning.
It was just the start of a much bigger conversation that we all need to be a part of.
Yeah. It really feels like Peck opened up a can of worms in a good way.
Right.
It's like a reminder that we're all connected and what we do or don't do can have a big impact. It's a lot to think about. So as we wrap up our look at Peck v. Counseling Service, what else should our listeners, especially those in the legal field, keep in mind about professional responsibility?
I think the most important thing for lawyers to take away from Peck is that this wasn't just some random case. It shows a bigger trend in law where courts are saying professional duties go beyond just keeping things confidential for your client. Peck was a shift towards a more well-rounded idea of responsibility where the safety of everyone matters.
So it's not just about protecting your client no matter what. Lawyers have to think about how their actions might affect other people too.
Exactly. Peck is like a warning sign for lawyers that they can be held responsible if they don't take steps to prevent harm, even if it means breaking confidentiality sometimes.
Wow, that's kind of intense. It definitely makes things more complicated ethically for lawyers.
It does. But it also shows how important it is to really assess risks, communicate openly, and be willing to get advice from other lawyers and ethics experts when you're facing tough decisions.
So lawyers need to be on top of things, think ahead, and not be afraid to ask for help when they're in a tricky ethical spot.
Exactly. And they need to stay up to date on legal standards and ethics guidelines, especially as technology changes how we practice law and makes things more complex.
Well, that's a great point to end on. A reminder for all of us in the legal profession to be careful, informed, and proactive about our ethical duties. Thank you so much for joining me on this deep dive into Peck v. Counseling Service. It's been a really eye-opening discussion. I hope our listeners got a lot out of it.
It was my pleasure. And thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the deep dive. We'll be back next week with another deep dive into a fascinating legal issue. Until then, keep those legal minds sharp.
And remember, working for justice and being ethical go hand in hand. See you next time.